And then there are schools that always just say, you know, it's not enough. It's really the attitude of each and every head teacher. When the attitude is good, even if it's not enough, you'll find they make use of it. I'll tell you, just I think next week I'll be going to Kabwe to see what one of the head teachers has done. She has built, out of her school grads, she has built an extra class for children with special needs. The same money that's going out to another school where the school is saying it's not enough. So really, it's how they run their schools. And because of that, we've employed 200 accountants that are working with the head teachers in these schools. And we're employing more just so that we have professionals that are running with the school administration to help, you know, make use of the money that they have and just ensure that monies are used properly. Because when well thought, when well planned, money always works. And right. Whatever little is being done is noticed by the public, noticed by the school, by the learners and their parents. So really, it's how the school is managing itself. I've seen another school, John Lang. They have got so many partners. They're partnering with the church. They're partnering with international organizations. John Lang. And they are feeding their children, not based on our grants. They have their own partners that are feeding the children. And the grants they get, they have prioritized other things. So really, it's the innovation that we are depending on. It's the creativity that we're depending on. And we believe, I believe, that teachers are great people and they have done great things. And I think we need to give credit to the teachers because they really do go out of their way. And like every other profession, there's always this one bad egg. There's always this one bad or lazy person that, you know, wants to make us look bad. But generally, I'm so proud of our head teachers, so proud of our teachers because they go out of their way to make things happen.
All right. Ms. Kundamando, thank you so much for joining us on the Phoenix Breakfast this morning.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
That's someone who wants to say hi.
Paddy's
here.
Morning, Gunda. Just make a breakfast show for me and Paddy.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
In exchange, just guarantee me a school place for my daughter and we'll make it happen.
Quid pro quo.
Right. Thanks a lot for coming through. We'll be joined by the Assistant Director and Head of Communications at the Ministry of Education, Kundamando, responding to concerns that were raised yesterday by a number of parents regarding the process of getting a school place for their children, especially in these grades 8, grade 10, and so on. And she just gave a response there. The bottom line is keep reporting yes. these people so that the ministry can take action. If you're not satisfied, you can also even report to law enforcement officers, which I think has been the key takeaway message mm-hmm. there. So it's really up to parents to take time to report these people so that action is taken. Mm-hmm. Well, we've definitely heard that Paddy is here, and that means we've got the main news bulletin up next.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
Do you want to play your part in saving our planet? Join the Absa Plant 103 School Challenge, open to all primary and secondary schools. Your school stands a chance to win desks, solar solutions, football and netball jerseys, plus more. Simply plant 100 trees within or around your school premises and send a picture to Plant a Million Trees at absa.africa to enter the draw. Let's write the next chapter of a sustainable future together. Competition runs until 31st May 2026. T's and C's apply. Your story matters. Absa.
Good morning. The headlines. Economist hails IMF program's macroeconomic success, but notes living cost concerns. Consultations on charcoal ban extension advance. And in global news, UK MPs back plan to release Mandelson files after Labour anger forces climb down. With the main news at 8 on Phoenix, I am Patty Mugando. Economist Dr. Esther Banda has expressed satisfaction with Zambia's International Monetary Fund, IMF, Extended Credit Facility Program, saying it has enabled the country to maintain fiscal discipline and achieve key macroeconomic indicators. In an interview with Phoenix News, Dr. Banda has highlighted the program's success in reducing inflation to single digit, appreciating the local currency, and facilitating majority debt restructuring. However, Dr. Banda is concerned about translating these macroeconomic gains to ordinary Zambians, stressing that the cost of living remains high. She pointed out that this challenge is common in countries that have engaged with the IMF, explaining that the IMF program often focuses solely on maintaining key macroeconomic indicators.
The key macroeconomic indicators, which basically are key in any economy, look good. But of course, the problem comes with structural reforms. To translate these particular key macroeconomic indicators and achievements into the real lives of Zambians is what I think seems to be a challenge. This has not only been for Zambia, but this has been for many other countries that have engaged themselves in the IMF programs.
Green Economy and Environment Minister Mike Mposha has disclosed that consultations to extend the ban on charcoal production to other hotspot areas across the country have advanced and are expected to conclude before the end of the first quarter. The ban is currently in districts in the central province, namely Shibuyunji, Itezhiteji, and Mumbwa. Mr. Mposha, however, says the government has noted with concern increased charcoal production in areas like Serenje, Sinazongwe, and Isoka districts, a trend he says must immediately be addressed. In an interview, Mr. Mposha is appealing to rural residents to switch to alternatives like gas to address deforestation, which contributes to climate change. He also says the ministry is currently working to tighten patrols and ensure vehicles carrying charcoal have proper documentation, and that consultations to revise the Forestry Act No. 4 of 2015 are also underway, aiming to provide a clear roadmap on charcoal and timber production.
We are now working on identifying other areas in other provinces where we have support for in terms of high levels of charcoal production, with a view of extending the ban after thorough consultation. And I want to say that these consultations have been extended to their Royal Highnesses, who have recommended in various chiefdoms that we need to extend the ban.
The Engineering Institution of Zambia, EIZ, is urging government to ensure the full involvement of local engineers in national infrastructure development. EIZ President Wesley Kaluva says involving indigenous engineers is critical to building sustainable capacity and promoting local expertise in major projects. In an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Kaluva notes that while progress is being made on flagship projects like the Lusaka-Ndola dual carriageway, there is need for government to deliberately include Zambian engineers. While commending government for embracing public-private partnerships, Mr. Kaluva has stressed that success should translate to meaningful participation of local engineers alongside foreign firms. He has observed that despite government assurances, local engineers still struggle to access major projects, thereby limiting knowledge transfer and professional growth. Mr. Kaluva is urging government to place local engineers at the center of infrastructure planning, design and implementation, proposing an increase in independent engineering consultants from 1 to 4 to prioritize indigenous expertise.
Also nominating one engineering consultant for that very vast road linkage. We're talking about 327 kilometers plus the bypass at Masangano to Kisengeroi. In our view, there should have been at least 4 engineering consultants. And indigenous, by indigenous I mean Zambian. Because you know, from 1956, when we built University of Zambia, we have produced engineers who are capable of doing that. Up to the level of even PhD, the engineering consultants. So we should just say Zambian indigenous without even beating about the bush. And I think government has been talking about this, local content. So that is where we empower our own people.
Economist Yusuf Dodia is calling on foreign investors to explore sectors beyond mining, which dominates foreign direct investment in Zambia. Mr. Dodia tells Phoenix News that while mining is a key contributor to foreign exchange earnings, over-reliance on the sector exposes the economy to global commodity price shocks and limits broader growth. He highlights untapped potential in agriculture.